everybody out to the youth service this evening. We don't have a whole lot on the schedule, but if God leads you to do something, by all means, it is in order and do it. That being said, does anybody have a testimony at this time? Anybody else?
Jeremy, I'm going to stand. When they was up there this morning, Stan and his family really blessed me all the time. I mean, just for their faith, their strength. So then when he was up there, I thought, well, I bet Kelly'd like to be here to see this. And really thought of that family. I just want y'all to know, I think a lot of it. Just the way you live and the way you come to church and you're strong, I appreciate it. Amen. I really do. Bless you.
Amen. Anybody else? If not, we'll go ahead and go to family prayer. Does anybody have any spoken requests at this time?
Engineering students, there's about eight of them, leaving on John a stranger as soon as we were in. Jeremy, remember staff, he'll be going this week to New Jersey. He's going to do his internship there this summer. Safety is close to New York, and maybe that's kind of scary, but just stop the floor. The Lord has a new song.
Unspoken. Pastor Al, would you stand and lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you as we gather this evening, Lord, to glorify you and praise you. Thank you. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for your mercy. Father, we gather to worship. Lord God, we ask you to honor us with your presence. Father, may your name be glorified in every undertaking. Bless the service, our Father, to your glory. Touch each and every one of us that will be mindful, Lord God, when you speak to us. Brother Fisher was teaching this morning, Lord God, how we need to listen and, Father, be obedient to you. Remember, Lord God, this request that Pam gave us concerning our Father, the Cobb family. Would you, Lord God, embrace him with your grace and with your love? With your mercy, Lord God, thou knowest the need of the hour. And I pray, our Father, for these other requests that's come before the church and the unspoken. Father, bless the service, and may you be glorified. Touch the speaker, Lord, and Father will give you the praise and the glory in Christ's name. Amen.
If nobody else has anything at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Susie.
Most of you have heard these four great guys before, but if you haven't, right now they're just known as the Bowtie Boys. And they are going to start off with a song that they have done before, when I Get Carried Away. And then they have a new one that I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a moment. But When I Get Carried Away.
I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away.
Don't know why I become a little shy when I get around a whole lot of people. And I can't figure out why I never can chat about the love that floods my soul. I must confess, I can't express the feelings deep inside me. The things I know and cannot show one day will overflow. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. Well, I'll pass the clouds and I'll shout so loud it may sound like thunder. My tearful eyes may fill the skies until it looks like rain.
As I leave this world past the gates of pearl to stand before the Savior, I'll let my soul let the glory roll, and from the roll he calls my name. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away.
Keep getting there. Voices are changing. Makes it rough. They're doing great. The next one is Sweeter as the Days Go By. And this song that they're going to be singing, the soundtrack that they're going to be singing to, is real special. Because most of you remember back in the 80s and 90s, there was a group of young people called the Young Believers. The Young Believers made 3 tapes at Harvest Gospel Studios. And the first 2 recordings that they made, the sound engineer asked me if I would like to purchase the soundtrack. And I said no, because we had a piano player. There was no reason for me to have a soundtrack. That was really not a good choice. I wish I had soundtracks of those. But on the 3rd recording, I said yes, and we purchased the soundtrack. So we've got those songs that we have the soundtrack of. By that time, by the 3rd recording, we were here at this church, and we no longer had Rodney as the piano player. We had Anita, so that's who you'll be hearing. We had Greg Kuntz on bass. We had Christy Miller on keyboard, and we had Stevie on drums all 3 times down there. So it's really, really fast. When the Young Believers sang it, we weren't realizing how fast it was. And I almost purchased a soundtrack for it, just a regular Day Wind soundtrack. But I wanted to keep this one just because it's real meaningful to me. I think it will be meaningful to all of you to know that for Ethan will be singing with the soundtrack that his dad and mom were singing on when they recorded it. So, and also, interestingly, when we recorded Sweeter and the Young Believers sang it back in the 80s and the 90s, it was Chris who sang the solo on it back as a teenager. So it's just sort of a neat nostalgic point for us that we've got the next generation singing with a soundtrack that was made back long, long ago.
The more I trust him, the more I love him. Nothing good for me he'll deny. The longer I know him, the better I can show. I couldn't stop now if I tried. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter. Sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. The moment he saved me, his good grace he gave me, he places love deep in my heart. It's great joy in knowing with him I am going, and evermore for him to depart. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter. Sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
I'm so glad it gets
sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter,
sweeter
as the moments fly.
Love
richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter. Sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
Love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter.
Sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
you back. It's just not been the same when you're not here. And Chuck and Mitzi, did that bring back memories? They were a part of the group that sang with. Did I miss anybody else that's here tonight? 316 has been scheduled to sing tonight for a long, long time, and as the months went along, they started telling me of things that were interfering with their ability to be here tonight. So I almost told Kim about a month ago I didn't think we were going to be able to do it, but I didn't want to do that. So we just are really, really thankful for the ones that we do have. Even this afternoon, I was getting texts with, we're in Morgantown with basketball tournament, we're in Parkersburg with a tournament, we're not going to be able to get there. I'm going to have to work over, I can't get there. And so even as of this afternoon, I told Aaron, I said, they're dropping like flies. I'm just not sure if I'm going to have enough. But I'm awfully thankful. Christ said where two or three are there, that he's going to be with them. So I want you to lift him up in prayer. I want you guys to just sing out. We've got good ones. The ones we've got are good ones. So they will do just fine. So the first song is Awesome God, and we want you to help us out. You know how it repeats, our God is an awesome God? We want you to sing that part with us and really think about what we're singing about. Think about how awesome he really is. And then when it comes to the chorus, sing that with us. Now, I was going to ask you to do that anyway, but I'll tell you why it's even more important. Our CD that we practice with has the voices on it, on those parts, not on the verses, but on those parts. It has the voices. And Pam gave me the copy that she has, which we thought didn't have voices, but then we found out it did. It was on the computer, but then I think when the computer crashed, we lost that song. So I didn't realize that in time to have gotten a new one, so it's my fault. But if you hear the voices there, it's because we're not singing loud enough, so we want you to sing really big and loud so we don't hear those voices. But just think about what we're singing about. Our God is an awesome God.
Thank you. for helping us. Next song is Fourth Man Walking, about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it features Bree Miller and Tatum Harper. Go to a praise song, 10,000 Reasons. You may remember, if you were here last month, that the group did this song with 10 For Him handbells, and several of them couldn't be there that day. And also, we had three, Lexi, Austin, Taylor, were ringing and couldn't sing. So we're actually going to be singing it tonight with a recording of the handbells, our handbells ringing it. And this song is taken from the Psalms. And we know that David spoke a lot of praising God with different musical instruments. And I just can see him sitting on a hillside somewhere under a tree with the breeze blowing and the sheep around, singing his praises. Maybe the words that he wrote in this song, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, 10,000 years, 10,000 reasons to praise his name." So 10,000 reasons, a praise song from the Book of Psalms.
Thank you.
them again and look in their eyes again and hear their voice again.
Sure.
Everybody falls sometimes, gotta find the strength to rise. All hearts free. If you will, turn to John chapter 13. St. John chapter 13. Truly, it is a privilege to be out again tonight in the Lord's house and to hear the young people as they share their songs with us. And anytime I can get out after 3 o'clock, I'm doing pretty good. So you all pray for me. I'm continuing to struggle, but I'm going to make it. I had the privilege of going to Sissonville's graduation this week, and I was very impressed by our two graduates. How many in here have ever been voted on for some kind of superlative at the end of your senior year? I think I may have gotten most likely to not succeed. Something like that, probably. But John, what'd you get?
Most talented.
But both of these young people received recognition from their peers. And I thought as I watched the video at the end, and Dakota received the award for the best smile. And I thought, what a witness.
Yeah, right.
What a witness. And Lexi got the award for the most friendly. And they did a little thing where her and another fellow are picking up books for each other. And I thought, that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be friendly, and he wants us to smile. A lot of times we can't smile, or things are going on in our lives where we're not, you know, in that position. But I think he still wants us to smile and to press on. Now, I'm going to hit a subject tonight that I don't know, you might want to put your hard-toe shoes on. I'm going to put mine on. But this is a topic that so often we as Christians have a difficult dealing with. Anybody have an idea of what we probably have a hardest time of dealing with as Christians? How about other Christians? How do we react? How do we, you know, when we see someone, and I'm going to get into the scripture here in a minute, and I'm not going to keep you long, hopefully. But here in this chapter, Christ is getting ready to face the crucifixion. And in the 34th verse, he was talking to his disciples. And he said this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Now he's talking to the disciples here, and he's saying, in order for us to be the light that we need to be to the world, the first thing that we need to do is to love each other. And I thought about this, and I thought, you know, young people, you probably run into this too. Maybe somebody you go to school with that you know is a Christian, and then all of a sudden you see them doing something that you know they shouldn't be doing. How do you handle it? And us as Christians, we hear somebody say something. We see somebody do something. How do we handle it as Christians? Now, the first thing we want to do is what? We want to choke them, don't we? We want to wring their neck and just say, why did you say that? Why did you do that? And I began to think about that. And how many in here has ever said something you probably wish you hadn't said? And what I'm getting at is, if you're going to choke somebody, somewhere down the line, somebody's going to choke you. And I thought of this scripture here. If you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. I may talk about them a little bit, and I may just read the 10 verses. But I think it's so important for us. If somebody approaches you, say you've said something or did something, and somebody approaches you and they're mad. Okay, I better not. TJ. Now, I'll use TJ for example. TJ's always a good example to be used. Come up here, TJ. How many in here have ever had something dislocated? Dislocated. Stan, what did you have dislocated?
Thumbs, shoulders.
Somebody else? Kip, I'm sure you've had something dislocated.
Attitude.
But when something gets dislocated, it's really what? It's painful, isn't it? Now, I'm going to dislocate TJ's elbow here real quickly. He's clapping back here. My hands are cold. I'm sorry about that. Your arm's warm, so I'm going to keep my hands warm. But I want you to think of this. When someone says something or does something, according to the Scripture, it tells us how to fix it. Now, TJ has offended me. He said something. And my reaction to him is to put him away right here on the spot. My nostrils flared. I come at him just as mad as I can be, just yelling at him. How is he going to react? He's going to turn right back and do the same thing, isn't he? But according to the Word of God, it talks about when someone does something. When you see a brother overtaken in a fault, the first verse there in chapter 6 of Galatians, it says, somebody read that for me. Okay, so it's talking about a brethren. He's my brother. Okay, the proper way for me to address his problem, what did it say? Approach him how? In the spirit, okay? Now, he's got an elbow here. Let's make it look like it's out of joint, okay? If he has something out of joint and I just come over and, whack him into place, of course it's going to put it back in place, but it's going to hurt for a long time. The same thing if I come to him and say something to him because he said something that maybe a lot of people thought was wrong. Okay? Now, the best way for me to approach this is to do this. Trenton, I love you, buddy. But there's something that I want to talk to you about. Are you willing to talk to me? See, in that situation, that kind of changes the flow of the whole thing. But actually what I'm doing is the same thing. I'm trying to restore him. And the old word for restore is to put back into place. Like you would, Mitzi, you probably do that all the time, don't you? Put people's arms and legs and put them back in place. But thank you. But I'm just saying that to say this. If you have a brother or a sister or a friend or a neighbor that you feel has done something wrong, you know how most of us want to fix it? Rob, how do most people want it fixed?
Right now.
They want it done right now, and they want the preacher to do it. Now, if I go to them in the same frame of mind that maybe somebody came to me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit on it for a while. Because if, what's the old saying, before you say something, do what? Count to 10. Why do you do that? Gives you time to kind of cool off a little bit. But I thought, you know, in our relationship of brothers and sisters, in our relationship, and believe me, through the years, I've had this come to me hundreds of times. People want me to fix somebody else. You know who the best fixer is? God is. So the best approach to start off with is a lot of prayer about it. And say, Lord, help me. If you want me to say something, and a lot of times he don't want you to say anything, you know, because you'll end up in the same position. But the best thing to do is say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And if it's nothing, don't do anything. But I'm sure he can fix the problem without you saying a word. And I thought of this, and again, like I said, this is not something that you enjoy as a message, but it says, brother, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore, put him back in place in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What is the golden rule? Do unto others before they do unto you. Is that right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So, before you choke them down, and I'm going to give all of you the opportunity to choke TJ before he leaves, just to, you know, just to get him in his place. But I'm thinking before you attack him, just think about the times you've messed up. And how would you want to be told what to do to straighten out your life? I would much rather hear it from the Lord than from one of you guys. Believe me, I've heard it from many people through the years. But I'm saying this, I would much rather hear God in control of the situation than myself or you. Because chances are really high that I'm going to mess up. And when I do, I would rather you go to God in prayer than to come and attack me. But then he goes on to say this. This is relationship between brothers. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is a burden? A worry? What else is a burden?
Care.
Some care that you're carrying along. Now, I want to jump down to verse 5. This says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then in verse 5 it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Now, there's a conflict of Scripture like you've never seen before. No, it's not a conflict. Each of us have what? We have a certain amount of burden we got to bear on our own. Each of us are responsible for our own relationship with Jesus Christ. But when he says, bear ye one another's burden, what's he talking about here? A burden that has become what? Too heavy for a brother or sister to bear. A burden that has become, you know, a thing that it's got them to the place where they can't carry on. So what kind of a burden did Christ bear for you? He bore all our sins, didn't he? Did he have to? Did God make him do it? Why did he do it? Because of that love. It goes back to that first verse we read. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Can you find any greater love than this? What's the scripture say? No greater love than this, than a man would do what? Lay down his life for his friends. He did that for you and I. Are you willing to do that for your brother or sister? Chances are, no. Chances are, I've heard some of you testify. You're not getting my boy. You're not going to crucify my boy for your sins. But Christ was willing to do that. So what he's telling them here, you know, I've took the big burden. I've took your sins and took them to a cross. And he says, for if any man think him to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. When we get to thinking we're something, what are we? We're nothing. Without Christ, he talks about righteousness. Without Christ, and Robbie had me talk about that scripture this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything else, all above that, he's talking about food, he's talking about clothing, he's talking about everything that we have a need. What did he say he would do? He would supply every need. He would supply every need according to what? His riches in glory. He's going to supply our needs if we do what? Seek him first. Now, can we brag about our righteousness? Any mechanics in here? Some of us tinker with it every now and then. You get that grease and oil on you, and what do you have to do? We had a request from, I forget who it was. I think it was DEP. They were wanting us to laundry their oily, greasy rags. And you know what an oily, greasy rag does to your washing machine? I mean, it kind of ruins it, don't it? But they were wanting to know if we'd do it, or if we couldn't do it, we'd waver so they could do it, and we wavered so they could do it. Let them clean their own rags. But I want you to think about this. He used this example to describe our righteousness. Our righteousness is as a what? Filthy rag. What is a filthy rag good for? Nothing but smearing, making things worse, isn't it? So here he is. He's saying, you know, when you get to thinking, hey, I'm pretty good. What are you doing to yourself? Well, you're deceiving yourself, because we're nothing without Christ. And we need to remember that. And our brothers are nothing without Christ. Our brothers and sisters are nothing without Christ. You say, well, they're human and God loves. Yes, he does. But without Christ, they're lost and doomed for eternity. So what he's telling us here, how we treat our brothers and sisters is very important. Because when we treat our brothers and sisters and love them as he said for us to do, what's it going to do to those? How do we handle people out in the world that aren't Christians and they make a mistake? What do we say about them? That's just the way they are, isn't it? They don't have the love of God in their heart, so, you know, that's how they're going to act. But when they see us do something, what's the first thing they say? You're a hypocrite, or I thought you were a Christian. And so it's important that we bond together, we come together in one mind, one accord with each other, protecting each other, because they're not going to protect us, are they? Something goes wrong out there, what are they going to do? You know, they're going to put you away. They're going to put you down. But he says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. As Christians, are we supposed to work?
Yes.
I thought it was a free trip. Why should we have to work? Salvation's free. Didn't cost you a dime. Why do we have to work as Christians? Because of sin. I mean, we have to go to a job each day because of what Adam did, right? He said man's going to have to work from the sweat of his brow. And I thought, you know, and now we're in a situation where the women have to work too, just to try to keep things afloat. But I thought, you know, I don't think he's talking about earthly works here. He's talking again about those spiritual works. And what does the scripture say about when he talks about hearing God's word? It says, don't be a hearer. But also, don't be a hearer only. We need to hear the word. But what do we need to do? We need to be a doer. As Rob spoke this morning, we need to be a goer. We need to get out and do God's work. You say, Aaron, I'm getting old. Yeah, I am. But there's no place to quit. No place to stop. You say, Aaron, I'm too young. We witness many of these young people, 4 and 5 years old, getting saved. Is that too young? Not in my book. As soon as they realize they're lost, they need to come to Christ. And they need to begin to work for Christ. It says, for every man shall bear his own burden. That's the verse I talked about there. We're responsible for our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we're looking at the other person, what are we doing? Oftentimes we're judging what they're doing. And we're looking at their lives and what they're doing. When we look at people, mostly what do we look for? What they're doing what?
Wrong.
Do we ever compliment a brother and sister for something that they're doing right? Something that they're doing good? I hope we do. And that's what we should be looking at. The fruits of their labor. If you go back in the chapter right before this, chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, it talks about fruits. And that's what the product of ours, and I'm going to get into this real quickly. I'm going to try to finish up here real quick. But it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I thought, you know, he's talking about that meekness again. How we approach people in any situation will determine what's going to take place in that situation. You approach them mad, you may come away with a busted nose. You approach them in the meekness and the spirit of the Lord, you're going to get their attention. They're going to realize there's something different about you. And it's so important for us as brothers and sisters that we treat each other that way. Whether we're on the job, whether we're here, whether we're out there, wherever we might be, we need to take care of our brothers and sisters. Bear ye one another's burdens. Verse 6 says, let him that taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. We have some great teachers here. We have some men and women that know the word of God. They're teaching our children, teaching you, teaching me. And you know what it says there? It says, let him that is taught, that's us, when we're taught, let us communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. We're to bring them something back from that lesson. And we're to tell them, hey, that really helped me out. Or we're to give them something in appreciation for what they've done. But he's telling us here, you know, they were having a problem with some teachers here. There was Judaism coming in where they were wanting to teach, you know, that circumcision was required. They were trying to hold on to the law. And yet, there was Christ had fulfilled the law, and their freedom was being taken away from them. because they were learning, turning back to the things of the law. But here he said, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. It's important for us. Take part in your lesson. Take part in your class. Study your lesson. I thought, you know, so many times we come and expect a teacher to do it all. We come and we think, well, it's not important for me to study that lesson because he's going to tell me whatever he wants me to know anyway. But if you're able to study and be a part of that, the thing that would scare me most, it scares me the most about teaching or preaching God's word is I say something that's not right according to the word. And if you don't study it, how are you going to know that I'm wrong? You know, it's important for everybody to read God's word. That's why I like to ask you. I'll start a verse and let you finish it. Because I feel like you know what it's supposed to say, and I don't want to say it wrong. But it goes on here. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Anybody in here sowed anything recently? Gardens, you got your gardens out. What are you expecting to get from that garden? Food, what you sowed. You planted potatoes, you expect to get potatoes. You planted beans or corn, you're expecting to get beans or corn. But do you have any control over that crop once you plant it? Not really, do we? If the sun doesn't shine, it's probably not going to grow. If the rains don't come, it talks one place in the scripture about the early rains and the late rains. You know, the guy who's planting and expecting that, he's counting on those rains. Who's in charge of that? God is. And isn't it good to know that you can ask him, Lord, I could use a little water today. I could use a little help here. And he's going to come by, but be not deceived. God is not mocked. He knows what you're sowing spiritually. He knows what you're putting out there. He knows what you're saying. He knows what you're spreading. You know, when we plant grass seed, how do we plant it? We spread it. We hope it falls on good soil. There's a whole different message on that. Talk about the different types of soil and the enemy coming by and stealing some of the seed, but I thought, you know, we can plan all day long, but if God doesn't take care of it as far as the rains and the sunshine, we're not going to get anything. But it says whatever we're sowing, we're going to reap. And it goes back to that relationship with our brothers and sisters. If we sow discord among the brethren, what are we going to receive? What's going to come back to us? Discord. It's going to come back to you in the same way that you sowed it. You say, oh, nobody will know what I said. Maybe I'll just write a letter and won't sign my name to it, and everybody will know that it needs to be done. You know, that's not how you... Be not deceived. God's not mocked. He knows who wrote the letter. He knows who didn't sign it. He knows what your thoughts were, what the intents were of your heart when you sent it. So it's important for us to realize God is not mocked. He knows what you're doing every day of your life. You know what's so great about God when we start to think something? He already knows your thoughts before you're thinking. You say, well, I shouldn't have thought that. Because have you ever gone along by yourself, and I've found myself getting a situation where things weren't going, and I would say something, and immediately I'd have to say, Lord, forgive me. Didn't mean to say that. Just came out. But that's because I'm in the flesh. And that's what the enemy wants us to do, is to grow in the flesh. Not in the spirit. He wants you to grow in the flesh. And listen to what he said here. He says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What's better than life everlasting? What is better than sowing of the Spirit so that you're sharing with individuals what God wants to do in their life, what He's done in your life. We've been talking about this in our class. We've been talking about sharing our faith. And we talked about how we go about it and when's a good time to do it. And most of the time, it's not good for us in certain situations because we've just done something that we shouldn't have done. We had an example of a lady at an airport. And she was in line, and the young man went up to her and just blasted her for holding up the line. And if he'd been a Christian, would he have had an opportunity, maybe once he got on the plane, to say, "Can I introduce Jesus to you? He's a loving God." And she's probably going to say, "What? Shame you don't know Him." And they're probably going to turn around and drag you off the plane after she hits you. But I thought, you know, we need to realize we're in the flesh. And our first response so many times is what? It's fleshly. But if we can get in the Spirit, get close to God, He's going to make us so that we'll reap of the Spirit. Of everything that we do in this life, what's going to last? Your soul, and who else's soul? Anybody you lead to Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that's going to last in our Christian, or in our lifetimes. You have a house, you have a car, what's going to happen to it? It's going to be go into your estate, or it's going to go to one of your children, and then what's going to happen? All your other children are going to do what? They're going to fight over what's left. Or they're going to fight over the house, fight over the car. But what about you? What will you be reaping? Shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life? That's all we're really working for. Is to go and to do what? Take somebody with you. There's a statistic out that we had in our lesson that said, I don't know where they got their facts from, but only 5% of Christians in the world have ever led anybody to Christ. That's kind of sad, isn't it, when you think about it? Only 5% of Christians. And again, I don't know where that statistic came from. I don't know how it is. If I were to ask you tonight how many of you have led somebody, I'm not going to do that. But think about that. How many people are we leading to Jesus Christ? I got two more here and I'm going to be finished. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. What did their last song just say? Their last song talked about that, didn't it? You know, there are times when we get weak. There are times when we get weary, but there's no time to quit. We need to hold on. Just hold on a little longer. And it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. How do people know that we're Christians? They can see what we do for each other. They can see what we do to help the stranger on the street. They can see how we treat that person who's sleeping under a bridge, or they can see how we jump in and help. And we talked a little bit about this. We talked about why does God let tragedies happen? And I thought, as I mentioned to them about the flood last year, what good has come out of that? You say, Aaron, a lot of people lost their houses, but what did a lot of people testify on the news? I've lost everything I got, but my family's okay, and that's what's important. We want to thank God for that. To God be the glory. As the communities have come together to try to restore their lives the best they can. But that's what we need to do. And it says, as ye have therefore opportunity, whenever the opportunity comes, let us do good unto all men. And through the last 26, 27 years that we've been here, there's never been an instance when we've asked for help for somebody that you all haven't stepped up. And I thought, there's that opportunity. Let us do good unto all men. But it says this, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Who is that? That's the Christians. The household of faith. It's God's house. It's God's family. And when we help each other, we become a light to a lost and dying world that they can see Jesus Christ. So when you're wondering, how am I going to straighten out my brother and sister? Well, just think about TJ. And just think, boy, I'm going to choke him down next time I see him. Or I'm going to dislocate his arm so I can put it back in place. Really, that's what you're doing when you attack somebody. You're dislocating their arm or their heart or whatever, and then trying to put it back in place. If somebody comes up to you and hurts you, what do you say? Get away from me. I don't want you near me. In closing, as we get a song of invitation, I thought several years ago, and I may have shared this with you, I was on my way to Sunday school and I looked down in the field and there laid a truck on its side. And everybody was standing by the road. And I thought, what's going on? Why is everybody not trying to help them? Well, as soon as I went down, I found out. There was a boy there who had been drinking. This is Sunday morning, about 9:30. He was already drunk. That's the reason he wrecked. But, you know, he ran everybody off and said, you know, we're all right, get out of here, whatever. And I looked over and there was a girl in the seat. She didn't say, get out of here, I'm all right. She said, help me. He wasn't letting anybody help her because he was trying to cover up the sins that he had committed. I said, you get over and sit down. And I got her out of the truck, and pretty soon the sheriff showed up, and you know, he took off running. He went running up 21. I thought, there he goes, he's getting away. And the sheriff says, that's all right, we see him. We'll let him run and wear himself out, and then we'll go grab him. But I thought, there she was, bleeding, leg broke. And, you know, the world's not going to help you when you're down. You need the Lord, and you need His people showing the way. So if you're here tonight, and maybe you just need to get a little closer, maybe you've treated a brother or sister in a way that you shouldn't have, maybe you just need to go apologize to them, give them a hug. Or if somebody like TJ, you want to just wring your neck, go ahead and do that too. Maybe that'll straighten them out tonight, but we know that doesn't work. So you be much in prayer for our church. You be much in prayer for each other, that we'll be a light to a lost and dying world, that they can say, man, that's a bunch of people over there that love the Lord. And I thought, one thing in closing, I thought as Jessica Stewart came by our class today to talk about the children's church. When she finished up, she said, my brother does this at his church. And I knew that, but she said, we've had to change our program here a little bit. She said, they've got 15 that's in their program, and right now we expect at least 45 to 50. So, you know, that's a great problem. And that's a great example to the world that if we stick together, we'll continue to grow, and our teachers will continue to work with our young people, and our teachers will work with our adults. And what you need to do is just get in there and study too, so that you know what the Word of God said. So as Austin leads us in this song, let's all stand. If you need to come, we invite you right now.
Page 102.
I'm truly thankful for our young people because Austin, for example, he was auditioning for a, I forget what was the part in. He was, but the song that he wanted to take was one of the songs that he sings here at church. So it's important for us to realize, you know, what you teach your children. If they take it out into a lost and dying world, they're going to see it there too. So just keep our young people in your prayers. Anyone else have anything before we're dismissed?